Thank you, Pastor Rob. I actually first just want to pray before we get into it. So why don't we just close our eyes and let's just seek God this morning. Yes, God. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your presence is here and that you are here, God. And Father, we look to you as our provider this morning, who provides the word and who is faithful and true to his word. And this morning, Lord, I just believe that you are gonna awaken spirits and hearts and minds this morning. And in this space, I feel that God wants to break poverty mindset, because we're gonna talk about God, our provider. And I believe that scales are gonna fall off eyes and we are gonna see God in a new way, the way that he wants us to see him. And so this morning, Lord, we believe that that's gonna be broken, that poverty mindset, that you are our provider. And we also believe that you're gonna break distraction that might have deterred our eyes to focus on our situation or the unseen, and we fix our eyes back on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hey, I thought I would wear my business attire because we're gonna do some business with the Lord this morning. Is that all right? Is that all right? My sister said, oh, you look like a CEO. I'm like, oh, I wasn't trying to. Just was like, you know, I'll respect the Lord and put on my Sunday best. This morning, I want to talk about Jehovah Jireh. And this week when I was thinking about, or even in the last few weeks, I was thinking about what to speak on, I felt the names of God drop into my spirit. And perhaps next time I preach, if Pastor Rob asks me again, I will do another name of God. And this morning I want to talk about Jehovah Jireh. And so we're actually going to look in Genesis 22. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to that. Genesis 22, and we're going to start in verse 1. It's going to be up on the screen. For those that don't have a Bible with them, shame on you. No, I'm just joking. Love. We love you. Okay, let's start. So sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. And Moriah in Hebrew actually means land chosen by Yahweh or land of teaching. So we know that this is going to be a teaching story. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He didn't wait till 10 a.m. He got up early. He saddled his donkey and he took two of his servants along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and he set out for the place that God had told him about. Verse 6, so Abraham placed the wood for the fire and for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. And he said, yes, my son. We have the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? And Abraham's answer is really interesting. He said, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. So they both walked on together. Verse 9, when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham picked up the knife, ready to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that very moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not hurt him in any way, for I now know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And then Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught in the thicket. So he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. So that's where the origin of Jehovah Jireh comes from. It was actually Yahweh Yireh. And, you know, the names of God, for me, reveal who he is to us. You know, Pastor Rob talks about the person behind the presence, the person of God, the character of God, and that's what we can understand with the names of God. And names are symbolic. We're all given a name at birth. You know, I was given Claire, name of birth. Mum actually wanted to, well, was considering naming me Sonia. I just don't think I'm a Sonia. Thank you so much, Mum, for sticking with Claire. Like, I'm so grateful. Hi, Mum. But it's funny because, yeah, names of God reveal who He is and who He is to us. But, you know, I'm sure that we don't go around and say, hi, my name is Claire, nice to meet you. That means bright and shiny. So for you, when you're in a dark place, I'll be bright and shiny for you. That would be weird. Like, please don't do that. But I think sometimes names lose the meaning along the way. I know that we have beautiful Christian people in this church that have named their children very symbolic names. However, in the world, in the secular world, names have lost meaning. And I think that started to happen perhaps when celebrities started to name their children like Apple and Techno, maybe. Hey, no judgment here. Apple and Techno, you do you. And it was funny, the other day we were talking about names and, you know, Pastor Denise and I and a couple of others were reflecting on, you know, names are coming back in from generations and generations ago. And I said, oh, I really like some of the old-fashioned names. And Pastor Denise was like, okay, okay. And then she came up to me later and she said, Claire, just tell me now what the names are that you have on your list. Just tell me now. And I said, okay. She's like, and I want to do two things with this. She said, first, I'm going to pray that God changes your name, like changes your mind about this name. And then I'll also pray that your future husband doesn't like the name so you don't get to name your child that. I'm like, thank you, Pastor Denise. Love you, Pastor Denise. But when I told her some of the names, she was like, oh, okay, no, that's good, that's good. So I've got Pastor Denise's approval. We all need that. Amen. I know I'm not allowed to name my future children any weird names. So it's good, it's done. But God, we see in the Bible that God often extends names when significant things happen or for context or for symbolism. And we see this with Abraham, who was Abram. And Genesis 15:4 says, the Lord took Abraham outside, it's gonna pop up on the screen soon, I think I have it. The Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. Maybe I don't have this one on the slides. That's how many descendants you will have. So look up into the sky, see the stars. That's how many descendants they are, Abram. And it says that Abram believed. He believed and the Lord counted him righteousness because of his faith. And so Abram means exalted father and Abraham means father of a multitude. And so that name was extended for a reason. Names carry weight in the Bible. And understanding his name and the names of God, we can have a deeper revelation and a deeper relationship with God. And I pray this morning that the true character of God is revealed as we look at Jehovah Jireh. The more that I studied the names of God, you know, I used to think of Jehovah Jireh and I honestly used to think of financial provision or, you know, a God of resources. That's just me being honest. And the more I studied the names of God when I was in Bible college, I realized actually has nothing to do with finance, but everything to do with provision through his word. And we see this in the Bible in a couple of scriptures. And this is when Moses addresses the Israelites in Deuteronomy. If we could have that slide, please. And it's in Deuteronomy 29:5, and it says, this is Moses to the Israelites, for 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. You ate no bread and drank no wine, but he provided for you so that you would know that he is the Lord your God. And then Deuteronomy 8:3 says, he did it to teach you. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So we know that Yahweh Yireh, his word is our provision. Yes, he's a God in providing and meeting our needs, but his word is the bread that we live on every day. And I love that. I believe that's the main point For me, when I read Genesis 22, it has everything to do with sacrifice and provision at a time of testing in faith, and nothing to do with providing shelter or clothing in that moment, in that origin of Yahweh Yireh. What's our part? You know, we have the names of God. Do we have a part to play? Yes, we do. But God is faithful. He is our provider. His word is our provision. That exists whether we grab onto it or not. He is not a provider because we think he is or because we believe it. He just is. And so we need to align with that in knowing the names of God. And I believe our part to play with God is some simple things that we can ask ourselves. Are we listening when God calls? At the very start, God called Abraham, and his response was, yes, here I am. Yes, here I am. What is our response when God tells us to sacrifice something? Do we say, yes, here I am, or do we roll over in bed with the cover and go, oh no, I'm not here. I'm not here. What's my response when God tells me to sacrifice TV for a week? I'm like, but Farmer wants a wife, Lord. Don't you know how much it means to me? What a sacrifice I have to make. I'm not sacrificing a son. It's just Farmer wants a wife. But that's a sacrifice, can I just say? It really is. I'm really invested. But I've mentioned my story last year briefly. If you heard it, that God told me to lay down and sacrifice my job in the middle of the year and not apply for anything. And I really did see the hand of God and his provision. And it was, I think there was such purpose in him saying, don't apply for any job. Don't apply for any job. Just resign and trust me. Because if I had of quit my job and then applied, I don't think I would have seen the hand of God and God's provision on my life as much as I did when I had nothing for months. And then I'm standing up here as a testimony that God really is Yahweh Yireh and he provides for us, because now I have a full-time job in ministry. Praise God. You know, I'm a testimony to that. Are we willing to say, not my will, but your will, God? Are we willing to say that, to be like Abraham and say, not my will, but your will, God. I will lay my son down for you. During a time of struggle or challenge, when our faith is getting tested, are we still praising and believing Yahweh, Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, you are my provider, regardless of the fact that I haven't seen an answer to this prayer, or I haven't seen your provision yet? Are we doing that? I'm challenged to do that. I don't always do that. You know, at the moment, youth camp is my Roman Empire. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it in the night, in the morning, and at the moment, I'm like, oh, we've got, you know, we don't have a lot of registrations. And I just keep coming back to God saying, trust me, trust me, just trust me. And I'm like, oh man, like I'm up here preaching about God being a provider, and am I walking that? Am I believing that? Like, this is for me. This is for me too. And are we, when we're in the valley and we're believing for a miracle or a promise or an answer to prayer, are we willing to literally lay that down? Because that's what Abraham did. He was willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, where that promise would be fulfilled. Before, when I read out that God took Abraham out and he said, look at the sky, the stars will reflect, you know, your descendants. This son was the son that he would see that promise through. Yet God told him to sacrifice him. And he was so willing that he woke up early. He woke up early to do that. And he also had to walk up a mountain. That would have been so hard, knowing that you're walking with your son that God has said to sacrifice up a mountain. I mean, I don't walk up mountains every day. There's a reason for that. Walking up a mountain is hard. However, Abraham had such strong faith in who God was. He knew that over 25 years before, God had promised that his descendants would inherit blessing and land and be numerous, as countless as stars, grains of sand. And so I believe that as he was walking up that mountain and as Isaac said, well, where's the ram? And he said, God will provide a ram. I believe he knew the name of God. He knew the true nature of God. And that's why he was able to go through with that. See, we can have faith in the midst of despair. We can. In the midst of a sacrifice or seeing an unfulfilled prayer or promise, we can still have faith. We can still have faith yet experience, you know, a bit of depression or a bit of despair, because it's not easy. Abraham and Sarah waited over 25 years for Isaac. 25 years, that's a long time. It's a very long time. And Romans 4:20 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. I love that. His faith was so strong that it brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. I want faith like Abraham. Does anyone else want faith like Abraham? Yeah, faith like Abraham. Perhaps Abraham had such a strong faith that he knew that if he sacrificed Isaac, maybe God would raise him from the dead even, because of this word that God had given him. And I'm just gonna be honest and bold enough to say that I've still got promises that I'm waiting for in my life. You know, God has given me every year a specific word, and I haven't seen it come to pass yet. Among other things, lots of different words and promises. And it started about 7 years ago. And it was 7 and 6 years and 5 years and 4 years and 3 years and 2 years and 1 year and then this year. And so I'm walking through that. I'm walking through the waiting season. And, you know, I'm going to boldly declare that one of the words and one of the promises that God said to me was that I would have a kingdom spouse in ministry and that I wouldn't have to do this alone. And I think sometimes we can be ashamed of the promises or the desires of our heart. And I wanna say that we're free to not be ashamed of that. That doesn't come from a place of desperation for me, like, I'm so lonely, I want someone to watch Farmer Wants a Wife with. I don't know if he'll watch Farmer Wants a Wife with me. Please, Lord. It's okay, I've got the girls to watch it with. It's not from a place of loneliness, it's not from a place of desperation. I know I can do this on my own. I've got God. That's my marriage. That's my covenant. He is my husband. But God has given me this desire and this promise for a reason, to then fulfill it. And so I want to say, don't be ashamed if you have a promise or a desire that you are believing for, because I'm going to stand up here one day and I'm going to speak of this entire story that I've walked, and my husband is going to be on the front row. I'm declaring that. I'm boldly declaring that in faith. I want to have Abraham faith. It's not about me though, it's about God. He is the provider. And I want to ask, do we fully trust him, completely trust him, that he will come through? Or have we allowed a bit of a poverty mindset or orphan spirit to come through without us realizing? Because I know that I can start to operate in an orphan spirit when I question if God will come through with multiple promises that he's given me, not just that one, other ones. I need to function in an adoption spirit. That is, I'm adopted by God as a daughter of the King into the kingdom. And I don't have to live like an orphan. I have full access to God and his promises and his word and who he says he is. And so it's so important that we understand that. And it's actually it's a thinking of God is a lack. You know, we can have that perspective when we start to think, is he going to come through for me? Is he really who he says he is? He's not a God of lack. He's a God of abundance. I'm sure it says towards the end of a chapter in Joshua that God fulfilled every promise he had said he would. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that he didn't fulfill his promise. He did. So if he said it, he will do it. Let's say that. If he said it, he will do it. He will do it. See, faith brings joy in the midst of despair as well. Faith brings joy. I felt God ask me at the start of the year, am I enough? Am I enough for you? If you didn't get anything more, if your life didn't change, am I enough? That's a pretty deep question to go through. I think we can go, yeah, you're enough. And then we're like, but I want to see this happen. And I want to say that I don't believe that God's calling us to believe that we're going to stagnate and nothing's going to change. But what I do feel that God challenged me with is, what are you idolizing instead of me? And I wonder if Abraham ever checked himself and said, yeah, I need to focus on the promise keeper and not the promise. 25 years is a very long time to wait. Very long time. Yahweh Yireh, God will provide. When I first moved here in 2017, I lived with Hannah and Jono, and that was in their old house, and it was only a 3-bedroom house, and they had Seth, little Sethy, and Hannah was pregnant. And so I came in September 2017, and about November, I thought, oh, you know, Hannah's due in April. I should probably look for other accommodation. You know, there's only 3 bedrooms in this house. And, you know, I was attending this church and I started to think, where do I want to live in Mackay? God, you called me here. So where do you want me to live? And then I knew that there was some people in the church that lived just across the road on some streets here. And I thought, oh, I would love to live there. It would be so safe. You know, maybe we could be like a little bit of a culty community where, you know, like, let me say that we are. We are in a great way. Like, I'm like, I need an egg. Someone comes and brings an egg. You know, we're always like, does anyone have any butter or does anyone have any flour? It's great. And so I really wanted to live in this area. And, you know, a rental popped up in my feed. And so I thought, okay, you know, I'll have a look at it. And then it said no pets. And I had a dog with me from Mount Isa that I rescued out there. And I thought, oh, you know, I have to bring Quinny with me. Like, I can't leave her in the street. And so I just like, oh, I won't go. And then I felt God nudge me, which I see was God at the time. Just go to the open home. And so I went, and there was about 15 other people in the open home, which is not a lot compared to now, right? When you go somewhere now, it's like there's like 30 to 40 people. It's pretty crazy. And there was this one lady that was walking around and she was confidently declaring that she would live there. And she was like to the real estate agent, oh, I'm just going to so enjoy living here. And here's my application. And oh, beautiful, beautiful. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's meant to be for her then. You know, she's boldly declaring it. And I just pulled the real estate lady aside and I said, hey, I saw that there's no pets on the application. Can you just talk to me about that? And she said, oh, well, they might consider pets. So maybe you still apply. And there was these application forms going in to the agent and I hadn't done mine yet. And I drove away and I just felt so discouraged. And I thought, God, I really want to live here. There's something about this house. Like when I walked through those doors, it just felt like home. And so I thought, you know what, God, you've called me here to Mackay. I know you did, and I've done the move, and that's not easy. When you're in a transition season and God calls you somewhere and you've got a life that you're living, lots change. Like we know that God has good plans on the other side of a big move and a big faith step, but it's uneasy, it's unsettling. And so I just prayed, Lord, if this is you, I just pray for favor on my application, however that is. And that was it. I thank you, God, that you're my provider. You are who you say you are. And a couple of days later, I got a call from the real estate. And when I was filling out my application form, it asked, why do you want to live in this house? Which I thought was a bit of an odd question. Like, do they normally ask that? I don't know. And so I just said, well, I attend the church across the road. You know, I have been for the past few months since I moved. The location is great. That's all I wrote. And I got a call from the real estate a couple of days later, and she said, "Hi, Claire, I've just got your application here and I just wanted to talk to you about it." And I said, "Oh, okay." She said, "So you go to Mackay Christian Family Church?" And I said, "Oh, well, yeah, I've only just started going though since September, since I moved here." And she said, "Well, guess what?" She said, "I'm Pastor Darren Hayhoe's mother-in-law, and I've been praying for the right applicant for this house. And you are the right applicant for this house." And I think I almost threw up. Praise God. I just felt that physical, like, "Oh my gosh, it's happening. You're so good, Lord, but bleh." And so I now live in that home. Out of all these people, you know, God provided. He gave me favor. And when I opened the door to that empty home, I walked in and I could see a table, you know, spiritually in my mind, and Jesus was sitting at the table, and I felt him say, "Welcome home." And thus began my journey of being really broken to now, you know, walking a life with God and working towards wholeness and healing with him. And so, you know, you can't tell me that he's not a provider. You can't tell me that his word isn't faithful, because it is. I've seen it, and I know you've seen it in your life too. Romans 5, 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us," because of our faith. "Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." Confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. He has good things in store for us. He's not a God of lack. He's an abundant God. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. Will God test our faith at times? Yes. We know this. We see it all through the Bible. Yahweh Yireh came from a time of testing, where sacrifice was being made. But will God always come through for us and provide? Yes, he will. He will. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. I wonder if in this place that if we could stand, if the worship team, if you could come up and join me, if we could stand together. And I wonder if there are people here believing for a promise or an answer to prayer or a provision of some sort. I stand with you in that. I stand with you in that. So this morning, can we just close our eyes? Let's just allow God, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh, just to reveal to us who he is. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that you are our provider and that you exist as our provider regardless if we align ourselves with that truth. Father, I thank you for those that are believing for promises that are in a time of testing, a time of sacrifice. God, you said in Numbers 23 that you are not a man that would lie. You are not a God that would change your mind. So Father, I just release Yahweh Yireh over those that are believing for answer to prayer, those that are believing for promises, those that need provision, those that have needs that have been unmet. I release that and declare that over, and over myself too, Lord. I declare that over all of us, that you are the promise keeper. You are the promise keeper, Lord. And this morning, if you want faith like Abraham, I want you to lift your hand in this place. If you want faith like Abraham to believe where there is barren, where you're in a wilderness, where you're believing for provision, a promise. Father, I release that over. You see your people, you see their needs, you see the promises that they are holding on to. And we don't hold it as an idol, Lord. We hold it as a desire of our heart that you are going to fulfill. And I thank you, Lord, that there are going to be babies that are testimonies in this church. I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be kingdom marriages for your ministry, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are releasing and connecting and linking. And Father, that you are creating life in wombs, that those that might feel barren, Lord, they are not barren because you are our provider, Father. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider, Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh Yireh. And Father, I release Abraham faith in our house this morning. I release that for those that are believing for you to move, that are desperate for a circumstance, are desperate for a situation, for an answer to prayer, Lord. May we have faith that unwavers in the midst of despair. When you test our faith, Lord, may we hold on to that rock as a solid foundation. I release that Abraham faith over us and over me, over every single one of us. May we have faith for you to move, Lord. May you exceed our expectations and may we be expectant for you to move, Lord. Holy Spirit, why don't we just start speaking in our heavenly language? If you can speak in a heavenly language, cry out to Yahweh Yireh if you are believing for something. Holy Spirit, Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh Yireh. Holy Spirit, move across this place. Promises, promises, promises coming down from heaven. We declare that. We receive that, Lord. We hold on to that. We grip that in Jesus' name. Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh Yireh.